Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Freakonomics, A Rogue Economist Explores the Hidden Side of Everything, is a popular nonfiction book by Stephen D. Levitt and Stephen J. Dubner that blends economics, journalism, and social inquiry. First published in 2005 and later issued in updated editions. It asks why people do what they do and how hidden incentives shape behavior in ways that conventional wisdom often misses. Rather than presenting economics as a study of markets alone, the book frames it as a tool for examining everyday life, from schooling and parenting to crime, cheating, and social status. Its method is empirical and provocative: start with an unusual question, gather data, and then follow the evidence wherever it leads. The result is a collection of essays that is intentionally accessible to general readers while still grounded in real analytical reasoning. The book became widely influential because it made data-driven thinking feel entertaining, surprising, and relevant to ordinary decisions and public debates. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, economics recast as the study of incentives. The book's central move is to redefine economics in practical terms, not as abstract theory about prices alone, but as the study of incentives. Levitt and Dubner argue that most behavior can be better understood by asking what rewards, penalties, pressures, or moral feelings are pushing people in a certain direction. This is why the book repeatedly returns to examples where the obvious explanation is less important than the incentive structure underneath it. A teacher may cheat if test-based rewards are strong enough and oversight is weak. A real estate agent may act differently from a homeowner because the incentives are not identical. By framing behavior this way, the book gives readers a flexible analytical tool rather than a single doctrine. The value of this approach is not that incentives explain everything perfectly, but that they force a sharper question: what conditions make a behavior rational for the person doing it? That shift is the foundation of the entire book. Secondly, using surprising data to challenge conventional wisdom. A distinctive feature of Freakonomics is its willingness to begin with questions that seem odd, even playful, and then treat them seriously with data. The book's chapters often move from a surprising observation to a careful investigation that reveals how much common sense can mislead us. Topics such as whether a gun or a swimming pool is more dangerous, how names matter, or what links school teachers and sumo wrestlers are not chosen for novelty alone. They are chosen because each one exposes a gap between what people assume and what evidence may actually show. This style matters because it teaches readers to distrust quick explanations and to look for patterns that only become visible when numbers are examined closely. The book is therefore not just about unusual facts, it is about method. It shows how data can uncover relationships that are invisible in everyday conversation and how a good question can be more important than a polished theory. That investigative habit is one reason the book remains memorable. Thirdly, crime, cheating, and the social logic of hidden behavior. Several of the book's most discussed examples involve crime, rule-breaking, and concealed forms of cooperation. Levitt and Dubner explore subjects such as cheating schoolteachers, the structure of crack gangs, and the internal incentives that shape groups often treated as opaque or purely irrational. These case studies matter because they show that illegal or unethical behavior is still influenced by costs, benefits, status, and information. The book does not excuse wrongdoing. Instead, it asks why certain systems make misconduct more likely and why some organizations persist despite enormous risk. This perspective is important because it moves the reader away from moralizing alone and toward structural analysis. If cheating rises when measurement systems create pressure without accountability, then the problem is not simply bad character. If criminal networks mirror ordinary business organization in some respects, then the line between social order and social disorder becomes more complicated than expected. The book's treatment of these topics is effective because it reveals patterns that are hidden precisely where readers are least likely to look. Fourthly, parenting, education, and the limits of common assumptions. Another major strand of the book examines families, schools, and child outcomes, especially the difference between what parents do and what parents are. One of the book's most influential arguments is that many commonly praised parenting practices may have less measurable effect than people assume, while broader background factors such as education, income, and social environment matter more. This does not mean parents are irrelevant. Rather, it means that intuition can overestimate the impact of visible actions like reading aloud, museum visits, or strict scheduling, and underestimate the deeper structural conditions shaping a child's life. The book is important here because it challenges a popular habit of assigning simple credit or blame to individual choices. It asks readers to separate correlation from causation and to think more carefully about what can actually be changed. In education especially, this approach is unsettling because it resists comforting narratives. Yet that is precisely the point: if the goal is understanding, then popular stories must sometimes give way to evidence, even when the evidence is less satisfying than expected. Lastly, why the book endures provocation, accessibility, and debate. Freakonomics remains influential not only because of its ideas, but because of how it presents them. The writing is accessible, lively, and built around narrative tension, which helped a wide audience engage with economic reasoning without needing technical training. At the same time, the book's very style has generated criticism. Some readers see it as overly broad, too eager to connect disparate examples, or too confident in conclusions drawn from limited evidence. That tension is part of its lasting significance. The book opened a larger public conversation about incentives, empirical thinking, and the limits of received wisdom. But it also encouraged more scrutiny of causal claims in popular social science. Compared with many economics books, it is less a textbook than an argumentative tour through examples, each designed to unsettle assumptions. Its endurance comes from that combination of entertainment and provocation. Readers finish it with useful analytical habits, ask what people are incentivized to do, inspect the data before trusting the story, and remain cautious about explanations that feel obvious too quickly. In conclusion, Freakonomics is best suited for readers who want a readable introduction to incentive-based thinking, especially those interested in how economics can be applied to ordinary social behavior rather than only to markets or finance. It is useful for students, general nonfiction readers, managers, policymakers, and anyone who wants a sharper way to question assumptions. The main benefit of the book is intellectual. It trains readers to look for hidden causes, compare intuition with evidence, and recognize that many outcomes are shaped by systems of reward and pressure rather than by obvious surface motives. Its practical value lies in that habit of analysis, which can improve how readers think about education, crime, organizations, and public policy. What separates it from many similar books is its unusual combination of data, storytelling, and contrarian insight. Instead of offering a single grand theory, it uses a series of case studies to make a broader point about how the world works. For that reason, it is less satisfying as a unified thesis than as a method of seeing, but that method is exactly what made it influential. It invites readers to become more skeptical, more curious, and more precise about cause and effect. If you would like to support Stephen J. Dubner, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.